Good morning, everyone. It's 93. I'm going to try to get you out before 100. That's my goal today. We're not going by time anymore, just by temperature. So that's my goal. I'll be watching my watch for the temperature. I grew up with a phrase. Southern Baptists and other denominations, we love like church lingo and phrases. But I grew up with this phrase, God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Okay, so, I mean, you kind of look at those things like, that's pretty cheesy. But we have these little phrases that kind of go through different generations. But my desire for you this morning and for us this morning as we look to God's Word is that we would really understand, maybe grasp a little more clearly that God is good. God is good. We have all heard statements through the years, and maybe from a coworker, maybe from someone that does not know Jesus, and from a lot of Christians that do know Jesus, we have heard statements like, why do bad things happen to good people? We've questioned things in history, like where was God when the Twin Towers collapsed? Where was God, where is God in the midst of all of these mass shootings that used to be every once in a while and now they're just almost daily, it seems? Maybe personally you have said, where was God when my husband or child or loved one was in a terrible accident? Where was God when I lost my job? Where was God during my divorce? Sometimes, and maybe you have very personally, maybe you don't want to admit it. Maybe you are fine with admitting it, but we sometimes want to shake our fists in the air and cry out, God, why? Why is this happening to me? I believe if you're a follower of Christ, you have had many moments like that in your life. God, why? I thought you were good. And if you're not a believer, it's easy to kind of blame God. It's easy to say, well, I don't believe in God because why would he allow anything bad to happen? As believers, we struggle sometimes to entertain the idea that maybe God is not all good. But for believers, what do we need to do when we begin to entertain those thoughts? What do we need to do when we begin to be deceived by the lies of Satan? We need to go back to the truth of his word. We need to be reminded of his truth. I believe that all scripture is breathed out by God. So we go back to his word, and this is where we struggle so many times because so many of us, and we are not going to raise our hands for this, but so many of us are not in his word every day. Is that truth? That's true, right? Okay, we got someone's ready to admit that. Yeah. Because that's where we are. We are not disciplined enough to be in his word. So when we go days without being in his word, we tend to drift towards the world's views, right? And we begin to listen to the lies of Satan. And then all of a sudden, the world is saying, God's not good. If God is real, he wouldn't allow things to happen. We've got to go back to his truth. And let me remind you of a couple of things before we get into this passage in James. Let me remind us what Scripture clearly tells us about God. It's right here, 1 John 1:5. Hear this, listen to it. This is his truth. This is a reminder to us. This is the message that we have heard from him, not from some preacher, not from some person. This is the message we have heard from God himself and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That means there is no sin in him. There is no darkness in him. He is perfect. He is good. The problem is we live in a world that is corrupt. It is broken because of sin. James reminds us of that right off the bat. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we are in the book of James. So just a reminder. So James reminds us right off the beginning of the book, right from the beginning of this letter, that we will face trials of many kinds. He is reminding Christians, like, you live in a broken world. You will face trials. But Scripture also tells us that God will never allow believers to face a temptation that they cannot handle. Scripture tells us that trials are actually good for us in the sense that we turn our eyes to Jesus and our faith is strengthened. Scripture tells us that when we do face trials, because we're believers in Christ, because we're His children, we've been adopted by God Himself, we have the ability to cry out to the God of the universe for wisdom to help us through those trials. But hear this very clearly. If you're someone that has shaken their fist at God, it's like, why, God? If you've been one that says, why have you let this happen to me? Hear this very clearly. In the midst of our trials, God has never left us, ever. God will never leave us. God is there, right there, and in the midst of all that, He is good. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? When we're shaking our fists, we need to be reminded of this. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us that if you're a child of God. I love Romans 8. Just go back and just read the chapter Romans 8. But the very end of that chapter, Romans 8, 38 through 39, listen to what Christ promises us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things that are to come in the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you start listening to the lies of the great deceiver, and he's telling you, oh, God's not good. God would never let this happen to you. Remember, God is good. He is perfect, and there is nothing, if you are a child of God, if you've been saved by His grace, there is nothing in this world, there's no trial, there's no accident, there's no divorce, there's no problem, there's no anything that will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when thoughts come into our mind that God is not good, let us remember Scripture. And we must be very careful to not let these thoughts lodge in our mind. We must not be deceived. And so when we look at the passage that we're looking at this morning, that is exactly where James begins. Look at James chapter 1, starting in verse 16. We're going to be in 16 through 18. Look at how he starts this passage. Do not be deceived. I love how that starts, because basically he's saying, hey, I get it, we're humans. So here's some things you're going to struggle with. So let me just start by saying this. Don't be deceived, because people are. He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have your truth. And I pray that this truth would resonate so clearly and so deeply into our hearts this morning. For those who are believers, they would be reminded of how good you are, that you are perfect, that you will never leave them, that you will never forsake them, that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And I pray for those that are here that you are calling, they have not experienced your saving grace, that they would experience that this morning, that the Holy Spirit would call so clearly to them, that they would see the truth that you are good. That all those excuses and all those lies they've believed would just melt away, and they would see the truth of your word, that you are good, that you love them, that you can save them and forgive them of their sins. Only you. God, we pray that you would speak to us this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Have you ever known anyone who suffered so much, that have gone through so many things, or have gone through such a hard season that they became angry at God and lost faith in Him, or at least said they lost faith? Maybe some you've known that have left the church completely. They've been out of church for so long and they go back and they're like, well, it's because God let this happen. That they've turned their back on their Christian friends. We've all known people like that. And maybe, again, maybe you've been there before. Maybe you're there right now. And you found yourself here in this auditorium, and here you go. You're hearing the truth that God is really good. But we've all known people like that. And the people that James is talking to here, some of the audience that James is writing to right here had this idea in their head. Because why? Because they were being persecuted. We don't understand what that feels like here in America, do we? We feel like we're persecuted sometimes because some news article comes out saying that God's not good. Like, oh, so persecuted. We don't know what persecution is. We don't know what it means to be to fear for our lives. And there are many people and many Christians in this world that fear that. And the people that James is writing to here were going through that. They were being persecuted. Some were homeless because of their faith. Many were living in poverty. And some had the thought, they were being tempted with the thought that maybe somehow God was not good due to what they were going through. We live by our circumstances so often, don't we? Like, if things are great, God's good. If things are bad, where'd God go? Right? That's how we live. The humans have been no different through thousands and thousands of years. They're going through this too. They're believers in Jesus, and they're being persecuted, and James is saying, hey, you're tempted to say maybe God's not good. So what does James do? He responds in this verse 16 by saying three words, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. He is warning his followers. He is warning believers in Christ, reminding them of Scripture, that God is good, but he's also reminding them of who Satan is, right? He's saying, don't be deceived by the father of lies. This is not just James talking. When Jesus was here, when Jesus was walking on this earth and he was teaching his disciples, listen to what Jesus clearly told his followers, okay? John 8:44. Kind of the second part, verse B, or part B. He said, Jesus said this, he was a murderer from the beginning. Okay, he's talking about Satan here, okay? Just know who your adversary is. Jesus is warning his followers. James is saying, don't be deceived. We go back to Jesus, he's like, here, let me tell you exactly who Satan is. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This command leads us to the defense. What Jesus is saying right here is it leads us to the defense that James gives for the goodness of God. He's saying, don't be deceived by the father of lies, who might tell you, or does tell you, or all the time tells you that God is not good. Go back to Scripture. Remember who God is. In him is no darkness. God is light. God is perfect. God's perfect goodness. And I get it, and I'm speaking from experience. It is easy for us to fall into the trap of being deceived, right? Has anyone been deceived by the father of lies? 12 of us. 13, thank you. I'm going to sit down and the rest of you guys come up and let's tell us what to do, okay? We have all been deceived. It's easy. Again, it goes back to, you know, circumstance. It's easy for us to be deceived when things are not going great, right? It's really easy to be on fire for the Lord when everything's great and we have money and we're not sick and all these things. It's so easy to be deceived when things are not great. It's easy to fall into that trap. And when we get into that trap, we forget that God really truly is good all the time. He is good. He is not ever bad. There's no darkness in him. He is good. So what James is reminding these persecuted Christians, he's reminding us of God's goodness. He says, don't be deceived. Let me remind you that God is good. And in these very, just these few verses, he's charging believers. He's reminding us to not be deceived and remember the goodness of God. Look at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So my question this morning, as we kind of begin looking through this passage, do you need to be reminded of God's goodness? I think we all do. Even if you're in a season where things are going pretty well, you need to be reminded of God's goodness. And I think all of us have probably different seasons that we're in right now, but let Scripture remind all of us this morning of how good God is. Verse 17, James reminds us by reminding us how God gives us perfect gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. James tells us that all goodness comes from God. Have you ever thought about it like that? That all goodness that we've ever experienced is from God. All good things are from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. The language here that James uses, when you translate it into the original Greek, the language here tells us that even the action of giving is good. The action that God is giving is good. And then every gift that God gives is perfect. Have you ever given a perfect gift? Have you ever thought you kind of? Have you ever thought you did? Have you ever felt really excited about a Christmas gift? Yeah, I mean, just every once in a while. Maybe it's at Christmas, maybe it's someone's birthday. I've been married. We're coming up on 29 years of marriage, and I'm thinking maybe three times that I really felt like perfect gift. That's a lot of Christmases and a lot of birthdays. Because it's like sometimes you're just struggling. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, it's just like, but maybe for your kid or your parent, it's like just every once in a while, and everything else is maybe like, oh, maybe it's not quite there. And that, my friend, is why we have Marshalls, right? Ross, Burlington. It's the place when you need to find a semi-perfect gift at the last moment for a great price. Like, can't think of anything. Let's go to Marshalls. They've got candles. I mean, that's how we think, because we can't ever get it all right every time. Thank the Lord for Marshalls. For some of you, you have the love language of giving gifts. How many of you guys love to give gifts? Like, you love it. It is like a passion. Do you feel depressed when you can't quite get the perfect gift? You're like, worst Christmas ever. Why? Well, I just didn't find the perfect gift. Like, you built a chest of drawers with your bare hands. Yeah, it's not the right color. It's not what they wanted. Like, you feel depressed when you can't find that perfect gift. You feel like a failure when it's your love language. But let's turn our attention away from our perfections, because we're not perfect. And let's be reminded of our Father, our perfect Father. In him is no darkness, in him is no sin, in him is no brokenness. And when describing God, James says, every good, everything that God gives, every perfect gift is from who? It's from God. Everything good is from God. We cannot describe ourselves like that. But God is a good God, and everything that comes from him is good and perfect. Nothing evil can come from him. We need to remember this the next time we say, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did this happen? We need to be reminded that God is perfect. God is good. Why do bad things happen? Bad things happen because of sin. Bad things happen because of the fallen world that we live in. Trials will come. And that's why James starts this whole book off. He's saying, hey guys, just so you'll know, hey, I'm writing to you, persecuted Christians that are dispersed. Okay, just so you know, right off the bat, hey, you're going to face some trials because you live in a broken world. But let me tell you, those trials are going to strengthen your faith. Let me tell you that in the midst of those trials, call out to God for wisdom, because he's there. He's not left you. He will never leave you. God is good. And now he's reminding them, do not fall into the trap of being deceived, thinking that God is not good, because God is good. He is perfect. And everything, every gift that comes from him is good. Let me remind you, you might want to write some of these references down just for whenever we struggle. Psalm 18:30. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an awesome verse? Just a few words, how much that just wraps up who God is. This God, our God, the one true God, he is perfect. His way is perfect. And the word of the Lord proves true. The word of the Lord proves true. When you are in God's word and you're reading God's word, you see how that proves true in your life. Write that down. Write that on your hearts. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. James is saying, no evil will ever come from God. He will never tempt you to do evil. James is saying that only good comes from God and that his goodness is perfect. The tough question is this: do you believe that? And I'm not putting down, I'm not taking light or making light of depression or anxiety or fear. Those are very real human emotions and we struggle with it in different ways. But isn't it selfishly fun sometimes to be angry? Does that make sense? Don't we kind of enjoy the pity party? Again, I'm not making light of a very serious thing. I'm just saying, doesn't it bring attention to ourselves when we can just be angry at God? Feels kind of good to just kind of go over there and go into our little hole and be just be upset. I believe that's part of just selfishness in a sense. When we have the truth right here, saying this is not about God. God's good. God's perfect. This is about sin. It's about struggle with sin. It's about living in a broken world. James is saying, don't shake your fist at God, because this is not God. God is good. God is perfect. Only good comes from God. And so my question is this: do you believe it? Are you willing to say, yeah, I do. Okay, I do. I believe that. I'm going to believe the truth of who God is, that he is good, and that there's the stuff that I'm going through is because of brokenness and sin, but he has promised me that he will never leave me. He has promised me he will never forsake me. He has promised me that there's nothing, no matter what I'm going through, is going to ever separate me from the love of God. And he has promised me that I have all wisdom to call out to get through this. And he has promised me that by going through this trial, I'm going to be strengthened in my faith, and I'm going to see God work in mighty ways in my life. Do you believe this? The great thing about God's word is, and the way Jesus looked at us and taught us, is he knows us. He knows our hearts, doesn't he? He knows how we act. And if you're struggling with this truth, and I love this passage, if you're struggling with this truth, cry out like the man in the book of Mark talking to Jesus when he said, Lord, I believe, and please help my unbelief. I love that. I love that. Isn't that us? Like, I believe you, Lord, and please help my unbelief that I'm struggling with. Maybe that's where you are. God is good. Every gift from God is good. And maybe you're like, I believe it, but Lord, I'm struggling. So cry out to him. Don't be scared to cry out to the God of the universe. Because if you know Jesus, you can go directly to him and you can say, Lord, I believe you and I believe who you are, but I'm struggling, so help my unbelief. James tells us that not only are God's gifts perfect, but God himself is the perfect giver. Look at that second part of verse 17. Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above, coming down, and this is so cool when we think about the picture of this, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the perfect gift giver. Not only are his gifts perfect, but he himself is the perfect giver. We need to meditate on this phrase, Father of the heavenly lights, just for a second, because this is who God is. This is who is giving the gifts. This means that God fathered all the lights of the universe. This means that he created everything. He is the one true God. And what's so cool about that, when you think about the universe, and you think about creation, and that he created everything, this is the same God we get to have a relationship with. That still blows my mind, and I know I've said that many times right here. That still blows my mind, that the God who created everything is the God I just talked to, that I was just talking to back there before I got up here, that I was just having a conversation with. This is the God who created everything. Our family, we just got back from Colorado, which it probably is my favorite place on the whole planet. I haven't been everywhere on the planet, so I've been just a few places, but it's my favorite place, and it really has been since I was a little boy. In fact, I told my mom when I was, I don't know, 2, 3, or 4 years old, I said, when I grow up and turn 14, I'm moving to Colorado. I said that when I had never been to Colorado. I had never even been there. I don't know if I saw a picture of some mountains or if I just like, well, that's where I'm going to be. Mom, when I'm 14, I got to go. I'm moving to Colorado. A few years ago in Colorado, I had the opportunity to climb my first 14er, which is a 14,000-foot mountain in Colorado. There's several of those in Colorado. And in order to make that climb, we had to leave at 2 o'clock in the morning. And the reason you do that is because you want to be able to summit the mountain and then get off the summit and below the tree line before the afternoon storms come in. So you got to make this hike, get to the top, spend a little time on the top, then you got to get back down before you get hit by lightning. So it's a pretty good rule, okay? It's part of what you do. So we left super early, 2 o'clock in the morning, and so you have to go with headlamps to see the trail, and we were climbing up the trail. But I will never forget stopping to rest to get some water, and we turned our headlamps off. And it's just like we looked up, and it was like, I've never seen that many stars ever. No lights, just the stars. And literally in that few moments, I remember worshiping God on that mountain. Because it was just, you couldn't escape the beauty of it. You couldn't escape the stars. I praised him for his power. I thanked him for Jesus. I thanked him that I could have a relationship with the God who created all this. The Father of the heavenly lights. The Father of all creation. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from who? The Father of lights, the creator of everything. With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Even if you're not an outdoor person, and I get that. Just step out on the porch some night and watch a storm come in. Just stop for a moment and look down at the flowers. Just take a moment and go, oh my goodness, that is very detailed. Take a moment to look into God's creation. This is the God we serve, but it's also the God we get to have a relationship with because of Jesus. He is the perfect giver. Every gift is perfect, but he himself is the perfect giver. Romans 1:20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. We can see it all around us. Ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. You stop and you turn your headlamps off and you look at the stars, you're kind of without excuse, right? Like, oh yeah, there's a creator. It's God. God is powerful. He is perfect and good, which makes him the perfect giver. And we also see from verse 17 that God does not change. God does not change, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Aren't you thankful that God does not change like we do? Because we as humans, we face change all the time. We change in our jobs, we change in our relationships, in our families. We are constantly dealing with change. We change our opinions, we change our moods, we change our likes, we change our dislikes. But God does not change like the shifting shadows. God is perfect. God's goodness is always the same, perfect. He is the rock. His goodness never changes. Do you need to be reminded this morning of God's unchangeable goodness? He is good. Don't be deceived. Don't listen to the father of lies, thinking that God is not good. God is good. And James tells us that God's goodness is coming down from the Father of lights like a waterfall that never stops. And this is incredible news to us because God's goodness is truly perfect. And then finally, verse 18. Not only do we have God's perfect gifts, plural, that every gift, all gifts from God are perfect. Not only do we know that not only is his gifts perfect, but he himself is perfect. But we also see in verse 18 that God sent the perfect gift. The perfect gift. Look at verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God's gifts are perfect. God is the perfect giver. And in verse 18, we see God's perfect gift. What is the perfect gift? Who is the perfect gift? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. We personally experience his goodness in that of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. This means, listen carefully, this means that God chose to give us birth through Christ of his own will, not because of what we did. God chose to bring us to himself through his son Jesus. That's good news. This is the perfect gift. This is his perfect gift. He chose us to have a relationship with him. He called to us by the power of the Holy Spirit to be saved of his own will, not by our will, not by anything that we did, but by his own will. He brought us forth to find salvation in Christ alone. We go back to Ephesians to kind of understand this better. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says this, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of my will or of who? His will. His will. This is all him. Everything. We got to understand this. Everything about salvation is from God. Everything. And this is the perfect gift. Christ is the perfect gift. If you have placed your faith in Christ, you have experienced firsthand the goodness and grace of God. You have been born again through the Word, which is Christ. I grew up in church. I grew up in a family that taught me God's ways. I heard the gospel as a young child, and I knew that Christ was calling me. I knew it. It's hard to explain as an 8-year-old, but I knew it. I knew I needed Jesus. I knew that I wanted a relationship with God. And after being called and placing my faith in Christ, I personally experienced God's goodness through Christ. It's personal. I've experienced it. Have I gone through trials? Absolutely. Will I face more trials? Absolutely. But I know Jesus. And I know what it means to have a relationship with him. And that's only because of God, because of the gift that he gave through Jesus Christ. And my question this morning is, do you know Jesus? Have you experienced this personal relationship, this saving relationship in Christ? The good news is you can. The good news is you can. You do not have to leave here this morning to go out into that parking lot and get in your car and then face anxiety and fear and depression and loneliness. You can know the God of the universe who created everything. And because of his perfect gift in Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, who rose again from the grave, who defeated death, and because when he died, he tore that temple veil from the top to the bottom so that we can come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ, have a relationship with the God who created everything. You can know that hope. You can know it, and you can have it. and you can understand the incredible goodness of God. To know that He is the perfect giver, that every gift from Him is good. And you can know the perfect gift, which is Jesus Christ. Finally, James tells us that the results of this gift of salvation in Christ is good, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. These new Jewish Christians were kind of the first fruits of that harvest. And the first fruits were considered the best of the crops that were harvested. And he was reminding them of who they were in Christ. These early Christians were considered first fruits because they were the first of the harvest of the gospel. And guess what? That harvest has been going on for over 2,000 years. And I'm so thankful that I've been a part of that harvest, that I've been adopted into the family of God. God's perfect goodness will be completed when all creation is transformed. We go back to Romans 8, starting in verse 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, and the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. We face trials, but we as believers have hope for eternity. And in eternity, there will be no pain. There will be no more tears. We have hope because of Jesus. And in the midst, as we wait, as we walk, those trials that we face because of the brokenness and the sin of this world, we have Christ. If you know Jesus, He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can call out to Him for wisdom. And every trial that we go through, we become closer and closer to Him because we see Him work in our lives. He is good. God is good. He is perfect. Every gift is good. He is the perfect giver, and He has sent and given us the perfect gift, which is Jesus Christ. So, believer, do not be deceived. Instead, remember that God is good. His goodness is perfect, and goodness comes from God. His gifts are perfect because He is perfect. He is the Father of all creation, and His goodness will never change. And we can experience His goodness personally through being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. I'd say that is pretty good news. Let's pray. God, thank You for your goodness. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for giving Christ the perfect gift. I pray that we have been reminded this morning of how good You are. That we can cry out to You, even in our doubts, we can cry out to You and say, help me to know this. Help me to hear this and feel this and know it's true that You are good. And even help me in my unbelief. But thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that in Your perfectness and in Your goodness, You loved us so much that You sent Jesus so that we can experience Your saving grace, Your forgiveness, Your mercy. And I pray for anyone here that is walking through a trial and you're tempted and we're so easily deceived to thinking, why, God? Why are You making this happen or allowing this? Why are You being this way? Help us to come back to truth. To be reminded of who You are, that You love us, that You're right there, that You're walking this with us, You're guiding our steps, and You desperately want to show us how much You love us. Help us to be reminded of that this morning. I pray for anyone that is hearing the gospel for the first time, whether it's here, whether it's online, whether it's in the overflow room, or whether it's someone that will watch this 6 months from now, I pray that they would know that You love them. And I pray that You would call to them. And I pray that many would be saved. You're a good God. You're good all the time. All the time You are good. And we praise you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.